we're very, very happy that you're here. The week can leave you feeling numb. Now the week is almost done. So open up big old hearts and open up your ears. 'Cause there's a special delivery. Special delivery for all you special freaks and norms and nerds. Oh, there's a special delivery. Special delivery of things that you'll be happy that you heard.
Okay. Thanks. So I'm gonna do some Bruce Springsteen songs tonight. Yeah. A controversial figure, to say the least. Got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack. I went out for a ride and I never went back. Like a river that don't know where it's flowing, I took a wrong turn and I just kept going. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Lay down your money and you play your part. Everybody's got a hungry heart. I met her in a Kingstown bar. We fell in love, I knew it had to end. We took what we had and we tore it apart. Now here I am back in Kingstown again. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Lay down your money and you play your part. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Everybody needs a place to rest. Everybody wants to have a home. Don't make no difference what nobody says. Ain't nobody like to be alone. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Lay down your money and play your part. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Everybody's got a hungry heart.
Hungry heart.
Okay. I was going to do a tune also by Towns Van Zandt. Jordan asked me to do some songs about being tough, so I did a Bruce Springsteen song. And I'm going to do a Towns Van Zandt song about fucking cowboys and stuff.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna leave you free and clean.
Now you wear your skin like iron, and your breath's hard as kerosene. You weren't your mother's only boy, but her favorite one, it seems. She began to cry when you said goodbye, and you sank into her dreams. Pancho was a bandit boy. His horse was fast as polished steel. He wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feel. Pancho met his match, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico. Nobody heard his dying words. Oh, but that's the way it goes. All the federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him go so long. Out of kindness, I suppose. Lefty, he don't sing the blues all night the way he used to. The dust that Pancho bit down south must have ended up in Lefty's mouth. The day they laid old Pancho low, Lefty split for Ohio, and where got the bread to go? Oh, ain't nobody knows. And all the federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him slip away. Out of kindness, I suppose. How Pancho fell, and Lefty's living in a cheap motel. The desert's quiet and Cleveland's cold, and so the story ends, we're told. Pancho needs your prayers, it's true, but have a few for Lefty too. Only did what he had to do. And now he is growing old. All the federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him slip away. Out of kindness, I suppose. And all the federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him slip away. Out of kindness, I suppose. Thanks.
Hey, what's up? How was your Christmas?
It was all right.
Yeah. Did your parents listen to a lot of Bruce Springsteen when you were a kid?
No, they hated him.
My dad hated Bruce Springsteen. My dad always told me, and this is like burned in my memory, and I feel like it's why I've been so hesitant to listen to him until recently, but he always said that Bruce Springsteen made music for people in khakis to feel like they're people who wear blue jeans.
Yeah, no, you've mentioned that to me before. I think it's like my parents, like people with actual working class backgrounds are like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, well, so... See, that's what I thought, but then, like, do you remember that summer, like, 2 years ago when every famous person died?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually just talking about Prince today.
Yeah. I remember after Prince died thinking, like, if Bruce Springsteen ever dies, there's going to be a fucking blackout because nobody who works for Con Ed's going to show up for, month.
That's going to be a big deal, for sure.
So, our first guest is Neon Masharov. They're a freelance writer. And one of the things about freelance writing that I think is really beautiful that people don't really talk about a lot is how a lot of the times when you're a freelancer, you're kind of just like writing assignments that people throw at you. And it's kind of like being in a band where you're just like floating around for a while and then you like do one thing that you're that like really like hits and then that becomes your thing. And people are just like, yes, please write about nu metal. We love it. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Nian, you want to come up? Do you want to use that mic over there?
Hey.
Hey. So for those who don't know, can you please like kind of detail the beat you've been on for the last like, what is it, year and a half-ish?
No, not that long yet. Kind of like a...
When did Chester Bennington die? I feel like that was like a...
Yeah, it's a year and a half. Wow, a year and a half of nu metal.
Yeah.
So blessed.
Yeah, do you want to detail this for people a little bit?
I can't remember if the Chester piece or the Kitty piece came first. At some point, Stereogum asked me to do a piece about the 20th anniversary of... 20th?
Yeah.
Jesus, we're old. Kitty's Spit. So I wrote that one. And then I was supposed to cover the Linkin Park Blink-182 tour because those are two bands that I wanted to see like my entire life. And I never got to because like my uncle wouldn't drive us to Jones Beach. And like, I don't know, all of these complicating factors. And then so I had tickets to the Linkin Park tour. And then Chester Bennington died. And then Gabriella was like, so instead of writing this concert recap, do you want to write like a really sad eulogy? And I was like, yeah. But then this was like almost unrelated. I wrote about Deli Girls, who are a really rad band who everyone should check out. They're fucking rule. And I think I mentioned like something about them being sorted or like having like the energy of nu metal. I don't know. I wouldn't call them a nu metal band, but like.
What is the energy of nu metal?
Just like being really hyped and but like also scary.
Is it?
It's being big and tough.
Yeah. But okay. So totally not ironically. I've been listening to a lot of nu metal this week.
Like, which ones?
Linkin Park. I thought I'd be listening to more Limp Bizkit than I did. It is unlistenable. It is genuinely unlistenable music. Except the song you did with Method Man that has no guitars on it and is basically a Wu-Tang song. That song bumps. Slipknot, I listened to a lot of. Linkin Park and Korn.
Yeah.
And... the thing that I got kind of like hung up on is trying to like understand what the through line between all of these artists are. Like if you remove the fact that like their fans all wear ridiculous pants and chain wallets, like what is the thing that unifies this as a genre? I did not know you were going to wear this outfit. sorry.
It's just kind of my outfit.
That was phrased in my head on the walk over here. I did not know you were going to dress like this. But if you like remove all the like the jelly bracelets and like hair wax, what's like the thematic through line between all of these bands?
Well, sonically, I think it's like started maybe with Korn's 1994 self-titled, but it was like all of these metal bands getting really excited about hip hop and trying to do like put in turntables and like rap verses and just kind of like a lot of mostly white dudes like trying to steal a lot of like or like. Steal, but also like incorporate like a lot of hip hop into their music. So it started, and I'm like a nu metal apologist as of like at the moment. So I want to say,
I want to say
it was like out of a positive impulse to like be excited about other kinds of music and just incorporate other kinds of music through it. And then so that mostly. But then it was like record labels got excited about it. Ross Robinson, who's this like famous Indigo Ranch, like nu metal producer, got excited about it. And they were like, yeah, put a turntable on this, put a rap verse on this. And it just became kind of like a caricature of itself. But that's the through line. It's like people got really mad when I think maybe they were like Motorhead got ruined by nu metal. Slayer never really went nu metal, but like Motorhead, Fear Factory, like all of these death metal bands or like regular metal bands that people used to be purists about were like, fuck, this is making money. Like, we're going to do this. So as soon as anyone threw like a rap, anything on something, it was like, oh, they want new metal. It's kind of a bridge. Like you were saying, it's like what was happening in the 90s was like metal had, I was watching this like Ozfest documentary. So I know more about this than I did like yesterday. But so metal was having like a real down moment because everyone was over it. Kind of like, it was just not, it was, it already had that thing where it became a caricature of itself. Like even Metallica kind of took a break. They were mad at Napster. I don't know. It was like 1998. And I think the thing about nu metal was it was like vulnerable in a way that metal hadn't been, because metal is very like dragons, like Satan. And nu metal was like this sound, but also our feelings. Yeah. And then emo was like our feelings, but not this sound. But like kind of this vibe. So it was like the exact like midway point.
Do you think it's more about intimidation or vulnerability though?
It's kind of both. And I think that's like the really interesting caricature, like the really interesting thing of it, where people are like, what is like, because it's really about vulnerability, but it's also vulnerability in a way that like a certain kind of mask person like isn't used to. So it's people being really, really vulnerable about their feelings. Like Korn has one about like child abuse. Like there's a lot of like processing going on.
Yeah, that's like the weird thing about nu metal that people don't talk about a lot, where it's proportional to like how much of it there is. There is a lot of nu metal that's about like male sexual abuse.
Yeah, it's like a lot of like, that's what a lot of Linkin Park songs are about. It's a lot of like things that people, especially like men, weren't confronting. But it's also like, but we can't just have this, so also we're gonna like yell and like have these like amazing outfits and like
a DJ whose only job it is to scratch.
Yeah.
I never figured that. Did the DJ like play anything, or did he just make the scratching noise?
That's an instrument.
Like, what did DJ Lethal do other than the scratch? Was it samples?
Some people had DJs and samplers. The thing that was cool about Slipknot is they had a separate sampler guy and a separate DJ.
When I was in eighth grade, I went to a show and I almost got the shit kicked out of me because I said Slipknot was a ska band because they had nine members in cute outfits. And the moment cute outfits came out of my mouth, this guy's like, shut the fuck up. And I never talked shit about Slipknot until I was like, I'm 20. I can do it now.
I don't know. The maggots are an army.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the other thing about like nu metal that was really like cute to me, is the branding of the fans the same way that like all the pop music of that time branded their fans. And it was like way more intended for a mass audience than a lot of the music around it at the time.
Yeah. I mean, it got like I ended up doing the like 20th year, whatever, Freak on a Leash thing, and was doing the digging on the numbers on that. And like Korn just top TRL, like, and it was just like boy band Korn,
yeah,
boy band. It was like nothing else. And I forgot how big of a like dichotomy there was in music back at that point, where it was like, oh, like there actually is like an alternative, but also the alternative is like super mainstream.
This might be like ignorance on my part, and it might have come from a place and I just don't understand it, but a lot of nu metal kind of feels like it came from the void. It's like the hair metal of the 80s came from like LA. It came from a very specific spot. And like even emo, which was like incredibly consumerist and like made for a mass audience, that came from a place. It came from small venues and then bigger venues. I have no idea where the fuck nu metal came from, other than like probably Florida. Like I know Limp Bizkit's from Florida and that makes sense, but like I don't know what they did until they became Slipknot.
They did that too. Like I'm not gonna talk about Limp Bizkit. Limp Bizkit's from Florida, but
a Limp Bizkit apologist.
I'm not a Limp Bizkit
apologist. What about West Borland?
Maybe a West Borland apologist. Yeah.
Okay. Finish what you're gonna say. I'm sorry, Andrew.
But Korn is from Bakersfield, California. Like Jonathan Davis worked at like a funeral parlor or like a morgue. Like they were just kind of dudes who started a band. Slipknot is from Des Moines, Iowa. They were actually a super group because they were like, no one in this city is making this kind of music, and so they were all part of different bands, and then they were like, fuck it, let's just make one super super band and like roll over everyone in Des Moines and then become super famous. So they had it. Yeah. They like wanted to be famous from the beginning. Like I think there's like this famous scene of like clowns storming like a record label office and being like, we're gonna be the biggest band you guys have ever had, ever, like we're gonna have drums that like levitate and like turn and like are on fire, and they did all do all that. But like they were playing
truly
small clubs
in the dream.
Chester was in like some emo band in Phoenix, Arizona, and I think Linkin Park was kind of like, I think an exec tried to put them together and they like flew him out from Arizona to like audition, but they were an LA band. System of a Down was an LA band.
System of a Down is the best of those bands, in my opinion.
In some ways, yeah.
Yeah.
Not
so
in other ways.
Do you think that like nu metal is a countercultural thing, both then and now? Because I feel like now it's way easier to make the argument that it is now, because there's tons of music being made by 20-year-olds who like nu metal is formative in their understanding of what music is. Mm-hmm. But was it then?
I think the people who, because it wasn't a thing that was initially put together by labels, I think it started out as a countercultural thing. Like, I think all of those bands, when they were small bands, were doing something that they, that was countercultural initially, like Kitty, small Canadian town, like just like angry goth girls. Like, I don't know. They all started out as a countercultural thing, but then when it hit mainstream, it became this mainstream thing. And then you got like Kid Rock. And like then it
Kid Rock
flipped.
Also was around for a long time. He's one of the few nu metal people where I actually understand his backstory, but I'm not going to get into that. I need to wrap this up before I start talking about Kid Rock for way too long. Doug, do you want to play some songs?
For a long time, I said that Auld Lang Syne is my favorite song. And that's not true. But I really like it. I think it's a sweet, sad song. I think it's cool that so many people, like everybody knows it. I was researching it before today. It's by Robert Burns, who is an old man, poet. I think he wrote My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose, and he also wrote this song. I changed the words. It's like in Gaelic, and I changed the words because it would have sounded ridiculous. Like if I to spare you of my brogue, which sounds like, you know, just a fat bastard impression. Like from the beginning of late era Bruce Springsteen, from a record called Tunnel of Love.
Saturday night, you're all dressed up in blue. I've been watching you a while, maybe even watching me too. Well, somebody ran out of someone's heart in a mess. And if you're ready for love, honey, I'm tougher than the rest. Some girls, they want a handsome Dan or some good-looking Joe. On their arms, some girls like a sweet-talking Romeo. Well, round here, baby, I learned you get what you can get. For love, honey, I'm tougher than the rest. Well, the road is dark, and it's a thin, thin line. But I want you to know I walk it for you anytime. Maybe your other boyfriend couldn't pass the test. But if you're ready for love, honey, I'm tougher than the rest. Well, it ain't no secret, I've been around a time or two. I don't know, baby, maybe you've been around too. There's another dance waiting, all you gotta do is say yes. And if you're ready for love, honey, I'm tougher than the rest. If you're rough enough for love, honey, I'm tougher than the rest.
Cool. That's my last song. Thanks for coming, everybody.
That was great.
Thanks.
That's my favorite Bruce Springsteen song.
Cool.
Somebody at the gym the other day tapped me on the shoulder and was like, have you been listening to Tougher Than the Rest by Bruce Springsteen for the last 25 minutes?
And you said, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Like, I can't. Like, what do you say to that? That's some straight pervert stuff, noticing that I'm listening to that song all the time.
Who was it?
It's this guy I have like a big history with at my gym. He hates me.
Okay.
There's.
But he loves Bruce Springsteen.
No. I'm not sure what he thinks about Bruce Springsteen.
He knows Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, he definitely knows it. He definitely doesn't like me, though. This is like a weird thing. I think I've actually mentioned this at past episodes. I don't want this to be a reoccurring bit. People at my gym hate me. They all hate me, and I don't understand why. But it's like this weird... I only understand it through like the lens of like pickup artistry, where it's like just like constant like negging. It's like, so the guy who asked me about the Bruce Springsteen song, he'll do this thing once a month probably. Like if I'm like bench pressing, he'll like, he can see what, like all the plates are numbered, you know how much it is, and he'll be like, is that 175? And I'll be like, yes. And he goes, ah, okay. And he'll walk away.
So you think he's being mean to you because he actually really likes you?
No. I think it's just like weaponized passive aggression directed at me. It's not ambient. It's very focused. Okay. I think that's it.
Cool.
This was a good show. I had a really good time tonight.
Yeah, me too.
Eyes of Love are up next. Yeah. Andre, you want to come up?
Damn.
So should I say any? Is there any? Thank you for having us.
Say whatever you want, man.
Thanks, Doug, you're Jordan, Dana. Dana, thank you. I'll play some songs. This is Sammy. We play in a band together called Eyes of Love. I think Lily's on the next episode, right? That's sick. Or... Let it go, let it go, operator. Just cut the line. Do you hear me when I'm saying, baby, I'm hardwired. Everything you want is impossible. Everything you want is impossible. Everything you want. Let it go, operator. Just cut the line. Do you miss me when I'm saying, baby, I'm hardwired. Everything you want is impossible. Everything you want is impossible. Everything you want. Baby, I'm hardwired. Everything you want is impossible. Everything you want is impossible. Everything you want. Thank you. Are you gonna be like that forever? In the back page, they all know the names about you. Are you gonna be like that forever? I can't wait till this thing is over. Gonna be like that forever. In the back page, they all knew the names about you. Is it gonna be like that forever? I can't wait till this thing is so far. I can't wait till this thing is so far. This thing is over. It's over. I can't wait till this thing is over.
The weekend.
around, living for the weekend. Somebody wants you around, and every breath that you are taking. I know these words are broken, but I fell down before you did. You just gave me the pleasure of knowing.
Take off my Thank you. Living in a new old age home with miles of ceiling and tons of compliments. You always wanna leave the motor running. Brunch on Tuesday, it's better for you. No one wants to leave the party early. No one wants to leave the party lonely. Are you really gonna live forever? Are you really gonna live forever? You and the city are a perfect couple. She sings with that, you like a dead canary. Maybe no one saw the gold rush coming, like television over miles of nowhere. No one wants to leave the party early. No one wants to leave the party lonely. Are you really gonna leave without me? Are you really gonna leave without me? Are you really gonna? Thank you. How's everyone doing on this lovely eve? Excellent. Cut loose. Song. We got one more song for you. Me and the death first. Led to the skyline. You only come around sometimes. Welcome to the Everdon. Homeowners of the New World. You only want watch Westworld and die to midnight. You only come around sometimes. Looking at the upper down. Thank you to Jordan and Doug Poole for having us.
Is there something next?
Is Doug playing more? That's it? All right, word. Enjoy your night. Yeah. Cool.
You might never see any of those people again. It's all over.
Oh, yeah. I have, like, things to sell.
like records? Or
yeah. I have tapes and CDs to sell. Yeah, thanks.
That was a smack.